Welcome to Clavering, a large rural parish of 3,800 acres, much of it agricultural, but also housing a population of over 1,000 people, with more than 80 listed buildings. Clavering's a very spread out parish, with seven greens and several ends, as well as the village centre. A map on the bus shelter to your right shows the extent of the parish, and an information board to your left tells you about picturesque Middle Street along the road to your right, well worth a look. In the 19th century, this was the hub of the village, with shops, wheelwright, blacksmith, pub and village pump. Opposite to where you are sitting at Blacksmith's Corner is the old smithy, and beside you the village sign with its clover motif, signifying the origins of the name Clavering, from two Saxon words meaning the place where the clover grows. Along the track from the top of Middle Street, set back on the right, is the Bury, a house which looks 17th century, but is actually a medieval-aisled hall built in 1304 by the wealthy lords who owned the manor. Before this, the manor house was probably within the moated site to the left of the Bury, a scheduled monument known as Clavering Castle. There is a reference in 1052 to a Robert's Castle, which might show it was pre-Norman in origin. The huge moat and the complex system of earthworks to west and north of the moat suggests this was a high-status construction, befitting the important families who owned it centuries ago. The first owner we know of was Robert Fitzwymark, pictured on an information board in the churchyard. He was given many manors, including Clavering, by Edward the Confessor, in whose court he served. The picture, taken from the Bayeux Tapestry, shows Fitzwymark holding up King Edward on his deathbed. The information board also explains the layout of the earthworks, named on old maps as the Dam. Surveys suggest the river was moved and an elaborate water management system created. It was an impressive ornamental landscape for the lord to show off, but also very practical for fish, reeds, keeping the moat clean and working a water mill, probably the one mentioned in Domesday Book. Among other lords of Clavering who owned the castle was Henry of Essex, standard bearer to the king, and John Fitzrobert, one of the 25 barons overseeing Magna Carta in 1215. In the 14th century, the manor passed to the Nevilles, the most influential family of landowners in England, who contributed to the rebuilding of Clavering Church. As in many villages, the parish church is near the manorial centre, but the church we see today is not the first one on the site. Rebuilding began around 1360 and lasted at least 50 years, incorporating some features from the earlier church, including the font bowl, a cleric's grave and a knight's effigy, all dating from the 13th century. The parish church of St Mary and St Clement is a large one for a rural parish and has a wonderful survival of original features. Most of the building dates to around 1400, and it still has an angel roof of original 15th century carvings of angels in wood, and its original church chest. There are also ancient brasses and an early rood screen. By the churchyard gate is the old Guildhall, built around 1500 by two religious guilds attached to the church. It would have been used as a meeting place for social and fundraising church sales until guilds were abolished in the Reformation. By the 18th century, the building had been acquired by the parish vestry and was used as a poorhouse until 1835, when the Union Workhouse opened in Saffron Walden and paupers had to be sent there. It then went into private ownership and was converted into little cottages. And in the 19th century, a single-storey schoolroom was added, and this was used as a club room before the village hall was built, and for school cookery lessons. At the top of Church End is the old house, a beautiful building dating in part to 1500, but with additions of 1600 and 1700, and many fine features within. For nearly 300 years, until just before World War I, parts of it were used as shops, and then it was bought by a wealthy lady called Miss May Fitch, who restored both this and the Guildhall cottages, and also did much to save and restore the ancient parish church.